55. We'll start in Isaiah 55. Then we'll go to the last book of the Bible for a few verses also. Isaiah 55. We'll look at verses 6 maybe through 11. These are precious verses to us. Put us in the right frame of mind, I think, not just for today, but for our entire lives, right? Our entire lifetime. Whether you've been saved a year, 10, 20, or 50 or more, right? We maintain the view that we're grounded in biblical truth, right? It isn't as if we, in our 50th year of salvation, that we sort of get this PhD or some master's degree, or, you know, the world confers, I get it, right? Certain distinguishing rewards for attainment. But it would seem to me in the Christian life, the longer we know him, the lower we should be before him in terms of our mindset, our appreciation, our thankfulness of all that he is. That's to me what I think we'll see a little bit in these verses. Seek the Lord while he may be found, verse 6 of Isaiah 55. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, finally, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Precious verses indeed. They remind us just how infinite God is, right? The God who wants to be in a relationship with us, the God that we can learn about, the God who we can believe in and trust in and have a relationship with, he is still infinitely higher than our ways. I find sometimes for myself, perhaps, and maybe you see this as we go through life, you know, we can be talking about spiritual topics or this or that, and we can state our opinion. We can say, this is what I believe. This is what I think about such and such a matter, right? That happens all the time, amen? We think we've lived long enough, and we think we have a view, and we state our view. But when it comes to matters of faith, matters pertaining to eternity, matters pertaining to an infinite God, we need to just watch ourselves and check ourselves, because we are lower than the King of Kings, right? And the Lord of glory, who made each one of us. How about this? Holds our very cells together in our bodies, right? Holds everything together in the universe with his knowledge and his power. So again, I almost think the psalmist says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Again, I think it's just important as we close the year out and as we head into a new year, as we seek the Lord and we seek his wisdom and we submit. Oh, that's a nasty word, right, for the world. As we submit to him, right? We need to be in submission to the King of Kings, right? In other words, I'm not going to shake my finger at him you know, when things don't go well, or I'm not going to shake my finger at him if things aren't, if I'm not happy all the time here on this earth, when the circumstances are against you and the situations of life, or the world is against you. The world will be hostile to this message. The world will not agree with the Christ of the cross. The world, your friends, your colleagues at work, may think you're crazy, foolish, for believing in the cross of Christ. Then let us be fools for Christ's sake. Let us be fools. And Lord, give me the courage to be a fool in the sight of the world. Right? I do not have to go in for siding with the world. You know, it's funny, even recently, I love it when wisdom comes from my kids and from others, you know, and something that would be going on in the world, and I'll have a conversation with my children, and I'm like, what do you expect, Dad? It's the world. And I think, oh, that's true. Right? What can I expect from this fallen world, right? There won't be justice. There won't be reasonability, grace, humility, perfection. That won't be seen in this lifetime, right, on this earth. And so I just want to emphasize this as we carry on in this message again, that we rely on the Word of God. And saying that, listen, we need to go in for knowing the Word, right? I need to go in for appreciating Genesis to Revelation, being able to rightfully divide the Word. It's not going to come through osmosis. It's not going to come easily. Listen, the best musicians of the world, and I happened to hear a few recently who play the cello and the violin, and you just, when you listen to a world-class musician, you're in awe. Right? You're thinking to yourself, how many hours of devotion to that instrument, right? It's unbelievable. And that's just an evocation. How much more so, again, for us as Christians to go in for knowing the eternal God of the universe. It will not happen through normal references to media and Instagram and YouTube and everything else, again, that I know is distracting. It'll only come through diligent, focused application, seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord and placing a high emphasis on his word. And so again, I know over 32 years, I occasionally will bounce in and out of Gallup surveys. It's a research organization. They do a credible job of interviewing a cross section of Americans on various topics. Gallup, you can look it up on the internet. So a few years back, I just looked at this recently. So we're living at a time, beloved, so we close 2025, if the Lord be not come. We close the year. And so, according to surveys, right, less and less Americans, or even people the world over, I'm sure, think that the Bible is the literal word of God, right? And so that, and I'm not surprised by that, amen? You know, a brother last week spoke to us from 2 Timothy. You know, in the last days, things will get worse and worse and worse, right? So, you know, God is on track. Makes sense to me. I'd be shocked if Gallup did a survey and said 75% of Americans think that the Bible is literally the Word of God. I'd be shocked. You know why? Because I don't see any of that right in evidence, right? I don't see it in practice. I don't see it in Congress. I don't see it in Senate. I don't see it locally, right? So again, beloved, we can have confidence. As I see things wax worse and worse, right? The Bible is true and true and truer and true because it told me in advance. It tells me in advance how things will go, right? Again, I'm not distracted that less and less people believe in the Bible. It's not going to change my view. It cannot change my view. And not to mention, beloved, that my views of certain doctrines cannot change. I just can't decide in 2025, well, you know, there's some things that are a little bit offensive and people, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. So I hear that. It doesn't make sense to me. So there's a lot of things in Scripture that don't make sense to me. Does it make sense to you that a God would come down from heaven, worship of angels, and die for your sin? Does that make sense? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, right? But I believe it because it's true. And I worship him because of it. But what an amazing thing he did, right? What an amazing thing that God of heaven did. There's not another theme. There's not another subject that will occupy your attention more than that. I don't care that, look, the endless elections and games and fun and activities, there'll be nothing that can compare with the fact that God left heaven to be treated so cruelly. Listen, we hate it, guys. I hate it when I'm offended a little bit in this life. Shame on me when something doesn't go exactly the way I think it should go with the cable company, the gas company, the electric company, whatever it is, right? Whatever little thing can get me off my game. The Lord Jesus came to pay for all our sin. Every thought, every word, every deed. Listen, beloved, this is true in life, right? Even the good works that people do in life that aren't believers, they do it out of a sense of pride. Look at me. Look, I'm going to give $1 million to this foundation. I get my name up on the college. Look at my name. All of the works that we do as Christians are out of thankfulness and gratefulness that he died for me, right? He produces the fruit. He gets the glory. And that's the only way it can be. Because there'll be, in heaven, beloved, there'll be no boasting at all. Zero. I've seen this over the years, and it just came up recently. A guy, again, a Christian who was formerly a child actor has done well for himself, Kirk Cameron. I saw something recently on the internet, and Kirk Cameron has a little bit of people abuzz because Kirk says that hell is not a literal place of conscious torment. Interesting. So like everything, beloved, that you see in the world and hear in the world, the only thing we always want to go to is, what does the Bible say? Right? That's the key, right? And I know he's a Bible student. And I just mentioned this as we close the year, because what we'll see, I think, and we've always seen this, right, is that different ones in different times, right, will have different ideas about Scripture. And so my exhortation to all of you, right, as it is to myself, is that we plow into the Word of God to understand every doctrine, right? We look at these. And, you know, it's important to recognize this. Some people say, well, you know, hell, it's not consistent with the character of God. If God is loving and gracious, why would he create a place called hell? It's a great question. And beloved, each one of you in the pew, you need to be able to answer this question. Because we have to give an answer for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. And if we preach that through faith in Christ, there's a heaven to be gained, if the Bible says there's a hell to be avoided, we should be able to articulate that. I don't need to get on my haunches, my hind legs. Oh, hell, it's offensive. The cross was offensive. Was it not? When people with wicked hands took Jesus, a perfect man, and nailed him to a tree, that's offensive. That's offensive. That's offensive in my sight. I mean, we hate to see anyone wrongly accused, mishandled, mistreated, raped, murdered, violently handled. We hate that. And here the Son of Man, our Creator, that's offensive. So if God in his wisdom and sovereignty tells me that through faith in that great work, I can have eternal life, I say, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's the only way. If he says that's the only way, that's the only way. Am I going to say to the Lord, there's got to be a second way, Lord? There's got to be another way. No, there is no other way. Because that was the way that he created. And if the Lord Jesus says in his word, listen, those of you who choose to rebel, who choose to disobey, who choose to deny, who choose to look apart from that work, who choose to look at the Christ on the cross and say, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not going for that. You've got that choice. You've got that choice. And most people do not choose Christ. How do I know? Man, you just think in your own relationships. How many have bowed the knee and go in for reading this book and being obedient to Christ and following hard after Him and enjoying worship, enjoying prayer, enjoying gathering with the Lord's people? How many? I'm not saying, by the way, that there aren't any. Oh, don't make that mistake. Elijah made that mistake, right? And God had to correct him. There are many, right, who have not bowed the knee to false gods. There are many who are saved. Of course, God is gracious. But just in our own practical lives, my 32 years as a Christian, right, it's not like I bump into him all the time. It just isn't. You know what I mean? If I ask people what they did on a Sunday, if I ask people what their favorite book is, if they ask them what they enjoy doing, I mean, I don't know if I've met many people say, hey, my favorite book is the Bible. Isn't that, that's going to be my answer, right? If someone says, Eric Cantwell, what's your favorite book? It can't be another choice, right? I mean, this is the book where I learn about God. I learn about heaven. I learn about hell. I learn about the future. I learn about judgment, right? This is the book. And he's all given us all a mind, right? That we can apprehend these things. We can seek the Lord while he may be found. That's a command, right? Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? This is a consistent theme, Old Testament, New Testament. Again, on this subject of hell, just mention it briefly. I know, again, Jesus had a lot to say on the earth about this. Right? It's a place of outer darkness. There'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 8:12. Hellfire, Matthew 5. Unquenchable fire, Mark 9:43. Eternal punishment, Matthew 25. And so on and so on. So, listen, I'll be conscious in the eternal state. Amen? I'll be with the Lord. Death is a doorway into eternity. I'll be conscious. And beloved, the Bible teaches that those who've rejected the Lord will be conscious as well. They'll just be apart from Him. They'll be apart from Him for all eternity. Just say this, beloved. Listen, it would be, and I've said this before, right? It would be completely unfair. Hear me now. For someone to live their life on this earth not caring for the blood, not caring for Christ, not caring for worship, not caring for hymn singing, not caring for corporate prayer, not caring for the love of the saints, to be dragged into heaven with Christ for all eternity. It's not fair. Think about it. God is a God of justice, is a God of fairness, right? How would that even make sense? If I don't come to some understanding in this lifetime, where I know I'm thinking about myself and what I'm going to do next and what my next goal is and what my career move is and what I might buy next and all the rest, I realize that I'm human too. If there's no time in all of that time for Jesus, woe unto us. For the king who came down to earth to die for our sins. And beloved, listen, he won't drag us kicking and screaming into heaven. He just won't do it. He didn't do it with Pharaoh. Did he? Listen, when Moses came, you know the story, guys, Exodus. When Moses came as God's servant and said, let my people go so that they may worship me. And Pharaoh's like, what? Come on. What are you saying, man? Who is God? Pharaoh said. Well, okay, Moses, okay, here we go. Plague number one. Got your attention yet? Oh, okay. How about this? Plague number two. Got your attention yet? Oh, I guess not. What are we going to do? 3, 4, 5, 6 to 10. Pharaoh had a hard heart. He had all that evidence. All that evidence. And beloved, we have a lot of evidence too, amen? We have a lot of evidence. We live on the other side of the cross. I've got the entire testimony of Christ's life and death. I've got it all here. I've got the heavens declare the glory of God every day, last night, coming in. Someone says, look up, look up. What do I see? These little bright lights all over the sky. Accidents? Random chance? I think not. I think not. If we look at a lion in the safari doing what lions do, is that an accident? I think not. I think not. So, God has certainly given us evidence, amen? And so we see in Scripture all throughout, people have an opportunity, right? Rahab was a harlot as defined by the Word of God at the time that the nation of Israel was coming along to Jericho. And those two, remember the two spies? Rahab, the prostitute, says to herself, I've heard a lot of things about you guys. The God of heaven is on your side. And Rahab says to herself, I'm with you, man. I'm not fighting that God. I'll hide you. I'll protect you. You just save me. Save me. Rahab, right? That's called faith. It's called faith. She could have said, they're here. The spies are here. It could have gone well with her, right? She might have gotten some commendation, some accolade, what have you. She trusted in the living God in her day, right? She didn't have any Bible in front of her. She heard the testimony. Oh, she knew. This group of people, this nation, these Israelites, they're being led by a very strong God. And so Rahab was rewarded for her faith. Amen? And she's mentioned in Hebrews 11 and so on. And God even placed her in the godly line of his son. She's mentioned in the New Testament. So what an amazing God we serve. In the days of Noah, like we say, you know, is the Old Testament important? Yeah, it's important. Read the Old Testament. We need to be balanced in our understanding, right? Again, I know everybody's going to remember this time of year, the baby in the manger. Oh, how sweet, right? Oh, how lovely, the little baby. Okay, let me take you back to Genesis 5. That same Lord said that the iniquity of is offensive to me. The thoughts and the intents of the heart are only evil continually, and I will destroy this people. Same God. Same God. So listen, when people tell us, and I hear this, right? Listen, isn't the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament? False! Why? Because the Bible says Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So listen, guys, I trust the Word. I trust the Word. I don't trust men. I don't trust the vain imaginations of men who want to tell me there's no hell. Look, it's okay. Jesus, you know, he loves everyone. We're all good. That's not what the Bible says. I go to Romans. No one is good. No, not one. Again, we can never play the compare game. When in Genesis 5, when God asked Noah to prepare an ark for the saving of his soul and his family, he prepared an ark for the saving of his family and anyone else that would get on the boat. So, you know, when we think about the story of the flood, are we able to articulate what happened there? Listen, what happened in Genesis? What happened in Genesis 5? We should be able to say with love and with respect, God brought judgment on the world. And rightly so, amen? And rightly so. It's not for me to say, oh, aren't you being a little unfair, Lord? No, Noah preached righteousness the whole time. People had an opportunity to bow the knee, to say, whoa, this God is serious, like Rahab had. She had a chance and she believed. Do I take you to Jonah? What are you going to tell people about the story of Jonah? It's just about a guy that fell into the water and was swallowed by a large fish. No! That's part of the story. That's not the core of the story. The core of the story is he preached the gospel and asked a pagan, idolatrous nation of vicious people in Assyria to repent. And by the way, we do the same today, beloved. We ask people in love to repent and trust Jesus. We bring the same message Jonah brought. It's not a different message. It's a different time of year, of course. It's 2025. The Bible says God commands all men everywhere to be happy. Oh, good job, you're awake. No. He commands all men everywhere to repent. That's the gospel message. And so in the time of Jonah, what did the people do? They repented. And God spared them. Amen? The only one that was sad in the story was Jonah. He was the reluctant prophet. He didn't want those wicked, godless Assyrians to be saved. And I'll tell you, beloved, I've had that view myself at times. So I'm not judging Jonah, believe me. I mean, there are groups of people on the earth that I despise. To my shame, God is willing to save any and all people that come to him by grace through faith. Right? I'll just take some people. Do I appreciate anyone that would behead someone? It goes on in the world, you know. Or that would come in and just take a bunch of girls and abuse them. I hate that. I hope you hate that also. I hate it with a passion. And I have to check myself, beloved. I do. Now, is God gracious to save any one of those? Amen. And should I pray for their salvation? I should. These Islamic terrorists throughout the world, I need to pray for their repentance. So I can understand a little bit of Jonah. Because, you know, he maybe came in his lifetime to hate that group of people, the Assyrians, the pagan, idolatrous people. But how about this, guys? God is greater than Jonah.
Amen.
And he said, you go to them and you preach a message of repentance for my glory, Jonah, not for yours. Amen? It's for the glory of God. That's why, beloved, this gospel is about God and his righteousness. It's not about us. It's not about the messenger, ever, ever. It's never about the vessel. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that, yes. So as we finish the year and as we think about our King, our Savior, I just want to read these verses in Revelation. Let's go to the last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 as we have some closing thoughts. In Revelation 5, quite a scene here. So this is a scene future. And we'll start in chapter 1. We'll start in chapter 1. Again, the book of Revelation, last book of the Bible, finished by John, who wrote on the island of Patmos. He was an old man, roughly 90 AD. So we're reading words from roughly 90 AD, right? And by the way, this, just so we're clear too, right, just a parenthesis, right, this last book of the Bible is the last piece of Revelation that we need in this room to live godly in this age. Right? Genesis to Revelation is all I need I don't need someone to step on a platform and say, hey, I have a word from the Lord. I have a new word. I have another word. I have a different word. False. False. Always, always false. Why? Because the Bible tells me we can't add to or subtract from this revelation. So stand on that, man. Stand on that. You know, people say, oh, you know, what do you think, Eric, about Mormonism? Well, I think Joseph Smith was a pagan pervert in the 1800s that has convinced millions of people that he was a somebody when he was just a sinner. That's the fact. That's who he is. He was a sinner who wanted to have a lot of wives. Everything about him is inconsistent with the Word of God. And so remember, beloved, everything I see in life, I think about in life, is it consistent with the Word of God? Does it align with the Word of God? Is it honoring to Jesus Christ? Is it something, again, that we can go to verse and chapter and say, hey, we need to do this, X, Y, Z. I'm speaking to different ones right now in a job setting, and we're saying, hey, listen, guess what? Men of God, it's okay to be married. Huh. Imagine that. We can be married and we can have families. Now, how do I know that? I go to 1 Timothy, and I read what it says there, and I believe what it says. So when someone wants to come along and say, oh, you know, you got to serve God faithfully, you got to be celibate. False. Every day of the year, false. Fair enough? I compare. You know, there's one mediator between God and man, Aaron. Just one. The man, Jesus Christ. There's just one. So again, I've got to go in all day long for holding up the Word of God and believing what it says. And like I said earlier, if the Word of God says, hey, there's a place of eternal torment and people are conscious, I believe what the Word says. Kirk Cameron, nice guy. You were a good child actor. And good, and God help you to understand things. But I do not have to go along with you or any other man's view or woman's view if it doesn't align with the Word of God. And here's the other thing, guys. God wants each one of you to go in for reading it so you know it for yourself. And it's not just what Eric Cantwell thinks. Forbid the thought. It's what does the Word of God say so that you can defend the Word and you can give out the Word and you can help people along the way who are caught up in vain imaginations. Vain. Revelation 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back with seven seals. Revelation 5:2. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? Yes, beloved, there are angels. I believe in the unseen God. I believe in heaven because Jesus told me. I believe in hell because Jesus told me. And I believe in angels because that's what the Word of God says. Have I met an angel? No. Have I met the Lord Jesus face to face? No. But by faith, we have a lot of evidence here. So I know there is a man in the glory right now with nail-pierced hands and feet. Amen. There is a man in the glory. Amen. Right? Because why do I know that? Brother Eric, why? Why do you know? Because the tomb is empty. Empty tomb. Seen among many witnesses. Not just five, not just 12. Hundreds. Hundreds of witnesses. I believe the testimony of Scripture. So that my faith is not in vain. Guys, and I'm not just standing here with hot air hoping you guys believe me. No, not the case. Not the case. I want you to believe the truth. I want all men everywhere to believe the truth. And to not go for the lies of Satan, the lies of the evil one, the lies of the world, which abound. Verse 3, and no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. John writing, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. That's amazing. It even says that. To even look at it. Verse 5. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. This is our King, beloved. This is our King. You're getting a future look here at the King who is worthy to open the seals and to bring on this coming judgment. And if you read the rest of Revelation, right, your ears would burn. You're amazed at what's going to come upon this earth. And this is all the same person. The Lamb is the Lion. Are you with me? Yeah. Right? Not just the little baby in the manger, although he was. And we respect it and we adore it. Amen? We're thankful for the fulfilled prophecy, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. But it doesn't end there. I have to have a balanced view, man. I can't believe in a heaven, a literal heaven, and not a hell. That's piecemealing the word of God. No, I go all in for the Lamb who died for me, and I go all in for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who will come in a future day and will set everything right, and he will judge all men everywhere who have not bowed the knee. This is what the Bible teaches. This is his justice. It's his righteousness. Again, I know this is, for many, this is like foreign, right? I get it. Of course it's foreign. Because the Bible says the natural man knows not of the things of the Spirit. Right? These things are hidden. They're hidden. Until their eyes are opened through faith in Christ. Right? The veil is taken away. Right? And so often we find the case, right, in life, the testimonies of men. Listen, I was going in this direction, living for self, for lust, for pleasure, all day, every day. It's common. It's common, amen? It's not just pro athletes and actors that do that. It's just little people like us in Lansdowne, right, who every day wake up and think, what am I going to do today? I'm going to do whatever I want. Right? It's the poorest of the poor in Africa are unsaved and will go to hell unless they bow the knee. As it will be for the richest people in New York City in the high penthouse. You know, I walk around the city occasionally and I look up in those high and I see the whole floor and I think, man, who lives there? Who can afford that? Right? You with me? They need to repent. Just like the homeless person I may walk by on that street. Isn't that interesting? Someone pulling a food cart with every earthly possession they have. And right up here on the 50th floor, multimillionaire. And they'll both end up in the same place unless they repent. That's God's design. That's justice. He is no respecter of person. I'm sure the guy on the 50th floor might look down at the homeless guy and think, huh, just didn't go well for him. Right? Went well for me. Good education, whatever I did in my vocation. How about that? What have you done with Jesus, sir? What have you done? Bill Gates, Steven Jobs, who's now dead, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, name the names, LeBron James, whoever they are, Jalen Hurts, whoever, what have you done with Jesus the Christ? That's the litmus test. So it says there in verse 5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. I read that, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. This is our King. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." So, beloved, the thought for today as we close is this text that we just read in Revelation, this is for you. We shall reign with him because of his grace and because of his mercy. We shall be overcomers because of him. And beloved, we can't get tripped up, right, in the idea of, oh yeah, you know, golly, I don't know if I would have done it that way, or I don't know if it's in alignment with the way I think about things. So my encouragement to you is, you get aligned with the Word of God, and we ask the Lord for help with that. Right? We ask the Lord for help. Lord. Align my heart, tune my heart to sing thy grace, right? Because listen, we'll finish where we started. His ways are not my ways. I start there, right? I mean, for us, when we first heard the gospel, and we heard, hey, Eric, all of your sin, your thoughts, your foolish words, even to this day, right? We say foolish things, Harold, and you know. But Marie would laugh there, right? We say foolish things, amen?
Amen.
And we think foolish things. And for the believer, every one of those is nailed to the accursed tree. He paid for every one of them. And everything is buried in the depths of the sea. This is God's salvation, and it's marvelous in his sight. There is no other way. There is no other way. Right? This is the way of salvation. So we praise the Lord for that. We rejoice this morning, beloved, knowing that, look, as we go through this holiday season, we think of the Lord who has come. How thankful we are, amen? How thankful we are that he came in such a way, such a unique way. In simplicity, in obscurity, in a manger, in a stable. And when he walked the earth with those 3 years, he had no place to lay his head. Right? He didn't live on the 50th floor of a place in Jerusalem. There were no 50-story buildings then. You know what I mean. So he lived a life of obscurity. You know, they mocked him because he was the carpenter's son. Listen. What a blessing. He worked with his hands. He was thought to be just a common man. But he was much more, amen? Oh, he was much, much more. He was God incarnate. God incarnate. And so we have that opportunity. If we head into next year, if the Lord gives us health, and we do, and we head into next year, right, these verses that we've read will apply. And if we finish 2026 and he doesn't come, we could read those verses, and they would apply again. And they'll always apply. Amen. Right? And those of us who have trusted in the Lord, we are winners. We are victorious because of him. And lastly, guys, listen. I don't expect your colleagues at work, where you work, your neighbors, to get any of this. But we should tell them. I'm not saying we don't tell them. We go. Blessed are the feet prepared with the gospel. Amen? We give out the word. We hand out the tracts. We tell people, I was lost and I'm found. I was blind and I see. We do that. We do that. Right? We're not those, this whole group of Christians think, oh, it's all determined, Eric, so I don't have to really do any of that. Foolishness. We go out into all the world and we preach the gospel. All right, that branch of Christianity, it's horrible. Horrible that people think, you know, Eric, I don't really need to evangelize because I think it's already in the Bible. God's already determined who's going to be saved. Don't go for that. Amen. We go out into the world, we make disciples. We reason, as Paul did, we reason in the marketplace. Right? It isn't like Paul stayed home, beloved, right? He went from place to place, put his life on the line, died a martyr's death for the gospel, as many have since Paul. So, right, so we should not be silent. We should confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ. For confession is made unto salvation. It's important. We have to have a voice. Listen, we get little kids up here on Sunday. How about this? How about this? Verse memorization coming at you in the audience from the mouths of children. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. These young people are hiding the word of God in their hearts that they may not sin against the God who loves them. So listen, you pray for the little ones. And listen, the little ones are going to be praying for us older ones that we finish our course. That we're not pretenders. We're not pretenders as Christians, but we're possessors of eternal life. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace in 2025. We rejoice in your salvation. We rejoice in your righteousness. We're thankful that the word of God will never change. It is settled forever in heaven. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and dying for us. We thank you that your blood is able to cleanse, and because of that, we shall rule, we shall reign with you. Not because we deserve it, Lord Jesus, because it's your good pleasure to do so. So we trust you, Lord Jesus. We trust you with our lives. This is no fairy tale, Father. We're just thankful that you've made it real to us, that we can understand it, that we have a book that we can read. Lord, may we read Genesis to Revelation back and forth and go in for the wisdom that is there. Father, forgive us for our sins, for they are many. And we ask that you would raise the fullness of health, some who would love to be here and are not. And we thank you again, Father, that you have been so gracious to us in our lives to spare us a lost eternity in hell and to give us a hope in heaven. We give you thanks for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.